Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Yes, we are. Welcome back, everybody, to another Def Conversation with our star, John Dilley. Good morning, or good morning. Good evening, John.
Yeah, you just woke up. I understand. You got nothing to do. Yeah, good morning, darling.
What is the show tonight is going to be about quilt making and apple pie? Oh, wait a minute, I got the wrong
part. Yeah, something like that, like chicken in a can. Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to go sit in the corner, do your thing, have a good show, and if you need me, you know where I am.
You got it. Okay. Well, everybody, welcome back to Def Conversations. I'd like to wish a happy Veterans Day to all the people that make our lives possible, especially my dad. Big shout-out to you, Pop. Now, we'll start off with our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Welcome back to Def Conversations, everybody, broadcasting from the Def Con Sauces compound located deep under a well-known Superfund site located here in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. We've got another interesting show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of hot sauce. Tonight, I'm a tad bit under the weather, so pardon the scratchy voice if it starts up again. I think the couple of shots of Woodford bourbon I just had is making things a little bit better. We shall see. Just a reminder, if you have a company or know someone who has a company within the hot sauce, barbecue, or chili world, feel free to contact me at john@defconsauces.com. And hey, maybe we'll get you guys on the show. After all, the golden rule of small business is, if they don't know you exist, they won't be buying from you. Okay, let's get started with a couple little quick things here. On the collectible front, I am receiving an increasing number of requests asking when our latest Def Con Sauces collectible, the Zero Batch Number 6, will be available. As I tell everyone, we're targeting the end of November. It may go a little later than that, depending how the packaging goes, as we're still waiting on a few unique components to be completed. For those who are not familiar with the Zero Batch collectibles, the Zero is our own truly evil masterpiece, straight from the bowels of Tartarus. In the past, it's been about 10 pounds of orange habanero peppers reduced down to about an ounce. Yeah, it's hot. If I had a place to guess, the heat level would be somewhere between 2 and 3 million Scoville units, somewhere around there. But anyway, that being said, the next incarnation will be even hotter, much hotter. Unlike many other companies, we don't put out very many collectible bottles. In fact, this will be our first Zero Batch release in over 6 years. There will only be 65 of these available to the public, and these suckers are going to go fast. So if you're interested in getting one, contact me either through the website, defconsauces.com, or shoot me an email, once again, john@defconsauces.com, and I'll put you on the list. The Zero Batch 6 will be completely different from the other 5 Zero Batch collectibles previously released, and with all other Zero Batch releases, will look cool as hell on your own personal shelf of doom. Also, a quick mention, we'll be having one of our famous Def Con days on December 6th from noon to 5 at Bunny's Sports Bar, located at 14 West South Orange Avenue in South Orange, New Jersey. We'll be handing out free Def Con wings for the duration of the event. Yeah, we packed the house. I'd suggest getting there early if you're planning on coming. The tables and chairs go quick. I'll start discussing this more in depth as the next couple of weeks kind of come up. The quick topic for tonight, we're going to kind of roll back the clock a little bit here. It was 2011. The Def Con Sauces crew had been around for about 6 or 7 years. I was doing farmers markets for the most part, as well as a few local setups at bars and restaurants, catering gigs, block parties, stuff like that. Our only large shows at the time, besides the Bowers Chili Pepper Festival in eastern Pennsylvania, were the ones that, well, you kind of had to get on an airplane to get to or drive 10 to 12 hours one way. It kind of sucked. These shows also entailed a lot of extra upfront costs, like airline tickets, car rental, hotel, freight both ways, drayage, booth fees, the whole works. We kind of got tired of paying all this extra cash just to show up before we even sold anything. Some shows we did okay, but others we lost our shirts. I mean, not because we didn't sell anything, but for the fact we already spent about $5,000 in total costs and we're barely able to make the money back. And talking to a few other manufacturers, it kind of dawned on me. What would happen if I tried to start up my own show a little closer to home? Well, I ran with it. I contacted the infamous Chip Hearn at Pepper's in Delaware in 2011 and pitched him the idea, a huge outdoor tailgate party where the booths were free. At first, he was a little gun-shy, but then realized if this thing does well, it'll bring some very good traffic to his store. The Peppers at the Beach show was born. The first show, as expected, was small, maybe 10 to 12 vendors, and their turnout was decent but not awesome yet. A lot of other manufacturers were kind of sitting on the fence to see how it went before committing, which is not uncommon. 2012 came, and the Peppers at the Beach gig was now on the map. With about 30 vendors all set up in the Peppers parking lot with a tent and a grill, this show was turning into something very cool. The third year, the show pretty much exploded with over 50 vendors, many with very well-known names, local and TV radio, local restaurants, food competitions, you name it. Peppers parking lot was the place to be for that weekend. Sadly, myself and the awesome wife unit, Maggie, were unable to attend that year, both of us being in the hospital for separate reasons. It was quite bizarre. But anyway, well, the following year, Peppers moved to Lewes, Delaware, and the location had a much smaller parking lot, and we were unable to continue into the fourth year of the Peppers on the Beach event. Sad as they may be, it taught me a very valuable, if not cliche, lesson. If you build it, they will come. The whole idea was just a brain flash that grew legs. So if you're looking to get a hot sauce show in your area, make it happen. It takes time and effort, but the payoff and pride is definitely worth it and reinforces the fact that putting your mind to something does work every once in a while. Our guest this evening did kind of the same thing here, and his name is Kendall Brenner. Many in the industry know him as the mind behind Hacha Wacha sauces. Well, that is true, but there's much more to this guy than meets the eye. The guy has more irons in the fire than a blacksmith. Kendall is the second guest we've had on that graduated from the Culinary Institute of America. Dan Bernina from Lincoln Creek Smokehouse was the other a few weeks back. Hi, Dan. Kendall is also the full-time culinary instructor at the Rockland County Career and Technical Education Center in West Nyack, New York. In addition to all this, he's one of the nicest guys you're going to meet. After a couple of weeks of technical difficulties rescheduling, we're going to get to see what makes this culinary dynamo tick. I think you'll be amazed at how many things the guy has going on right now. So without further ado, let's get him on here. Kendall, you out there, man?
I am. How are you tonight, John?
Hey, welcome to the show, man. Long time no see.
Thank you.
Like we said before the show, the time does go rather quickly. And what I want to do is just ask you a basic 20 questions, and we're going to just jump right into the pool and just get this thing rolling because we got a lot to talk about. As I ask everyone on here, what sparked your love for the spicy/savory industry? Something had to get it going.
You know, it's funny. When I grew up as a kid, my mom grew up in Texas. So she grew up around spicy food. So spicy food was always around our house. And, you know, one of the things I remember as a kid was my mom had this thing for jalapenos, and she would eat them at every meal, and I started to like them. So, you know, I had jalapenos with everything. And
right.
I really didn't go into the major hot sauce arena till probably about 6 years ago. And it really started with peppers in our garden, and that's when, you know, Hacha Wacha was born. And
cool.
I think since then I've probably tried every hot sauce there is on the market that, you know, has come across our circle. But, yeah, we're heat freaks at this point in our life.
Well, that's a good thing. Heat freaks is good. It's also very healthy. But now you're based out of New York, right?
Yeah, we're based out of Rockland County. So,
okay.
You know, we started our company, you know, 6 years. Now we've been in business officially 2 years now.
Okay. And now I got to ask, as I do just about all of our guests, who really runs the operation, you or your lovely wife, Ashley?
Oh, no, my wife does all the design. She is
okay.
A designer by trade, so she does all the design and the collateral. That's as far as she goes. You'll see her manning the booth from time to time, but the business
yep.
operations are me.
She's a sweetheart to deal with. I mean, the promoter
show.
She's on the spot, man. Anything needed, she gets it for you. She's a sweetheart. Now, we're going to jump right into this, right into the products first, because we got a lot of stuff after the products to discuss. Now,
okay.
We're going to start out basically bringing on one at a time here. And the first up, I went to the site, I'm kind of perusing, and I thought it was kind of an interesting mix. It's a strawberry habanero sauce. I mean, not many people would think of that kind of a unique combination. Is it a hot one, or is it kind of everybody can eat it?
No, it's all habanero-based, so we use red habaneros, and we just actually started sourcing our peppers out of Pennsylvania now. So
okay.
We were getting them. I was buying them by the pallet, and then I freeze them. And
right.
But now we're getting them out of Pennsylvania from what's the farm that's right up from Bowers? I forget the guy's name.
I forgot the name, too. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that place is enormous.
Yeah, but we got with him, and we bought about 500 pounds of peppers this year. We bought We bought everything from habanero to scorpion to marugas and ghosts, because we're rolling out a new line. We're coming out with
Excellent.
A super hot.
Oh,
but
the
strawberry
was one of the questions
came,
coming up. Awesome.
Yeah, the strawberry came from, you know, it's my creative side in me. And, you know, I love fruit. And if you go back 20 years when I was designing menus, most of my dishes have some sort of fruit essence. And
okay.
So it was just kind of a natural thing to do something fruity.
Sure. Okay, now, I mean, what would you particularly use this on? I mean, does it taste good on something more better than others?
One of my favorites, and my son Jordan, whose name is on the bottle because it's named after him, but I love it on pasta, and I actually love it on cold pasta. That's my favorite.
Now, think strawberry and pasta. Who would have thought that?
Is for me, it's amazing. You know, it's just, and everybody that has tried it thinks the same. We're probably one of, at least again, in the circle, you know, I've known you now for 2 strong years. So,
right.
I mean, we've probably come across, I don't know, 150 different hot sauce companies in the 2 years we've been in this circuit.
Yep.
I only know of one, maybe two other companies that have done a strawberry hot sauce. And, you know, it's not that I tout my product that much, but you know, ours is a good product. I mean, and our sales show that. It's respectable. So,
that's,
you know, we move
good,
a respectable amount of product. And, yeah, I love it on eggs. I mean, I think French toast is great. We've done that. You know, we've had it on ice cream. So
nice.
You get that fire and heat.
Very cool, very cool. Now, the next one up we have is, I thought this was kind of cool, was a garlic lime sauce. Now, this is a straight-up mild, I would take it, or are there a few kind of hidden peppers inside the bottle?
Yeah, no, it's pretty hot. It's our hottest line, believe it or not, because it's based on the amount of habaneros that we put into the batch. So
gotcha.
when we do a 50-gallon batch, we use 25 pounds of peppers.
Nice.
So
that's a lot of peppers,
straight up, straight up heat and straight up garlic.
Nice.
You know, and you know, we ran into the issue. I don't know if you knew the thing what happened with the limes this year. But
no.
It killed us. Limes are normally about $7 a case. They went up to $100 a case.
What?
In midwinter, because the cartels were holding the limes hostage. There was this whole thing with the Mexican drug cartels.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
Hysterical. So
the drug cartels are in the limes now. There's nothing sacred.
There was nothing sacred. So in a panic, we went to reformulate our recipes. And fortunately, we didn't have to do anything. We were able to keep the same recipe because the price of limes dropped back down so drastically.
Man,
so,
crazy.
You know, now there. So what we do now is we squeeze the limes. You know, I get my minions to do it, and we squeeze them, and we freeze the juice, and then I have it when we go to our next batch.
Nice,
so,
nice. I mean, what are some of the uses you use that for? This seems like more of a versatile sauce than a strawberry one, I would think.
Yeah, it is. The garlic lime, it's great. It has clean heat to it, which is nice, so there's not a deep flavor profile to it. So
okay.
Rice and beans, soups, stews, you know, chicken, you know, grilled dishes.
Sure.
It's really one of those, you know, it's one of those Cuban heat things where you could use it in Cuban foods, and we've done like pork roasts and the rice and beans and the plantains and the stews, and we just use a little bit of the garlic lime in there, and it's great. It just
I was
gives
actually
it
thinking like a shredded pork or something like that. That's the first thing that jumped into my head.
Yeah, it goes
okay.
Really well with pork. It's the garlic and that citrus.
Yeah, and garlic and pork, they're like married at birth. So, but
yep.
Now I thought pancakes when I saw this one. That's your maple mango sauce. Again, there's got to be hidden peppers. But besides
the
pancakes,
maple mango,
what would you suggest?
Again, all of our stuff is habanero based.
Okay.
So the maple mango came from experimenting. And, you know, if you talk to chefs, we have this thing. It's very hard for us to duplicate recipes because
right.
Every time we change something, we add this, we take that out, we add this. So it took us a long time to do it and to really come up with a solid recipe for these things.
Right.
But the maple mango, it really is, if you have a love for maple, then this is your sauce.
Okay.
You know, they're expensive to produce because we're using all-natural maple syrup. We're
right.
Using fresh mangoes, agave, you know, all great ingredients. So,
right.
You know.
Oh, that'll show as soon as you open the bottle. I mean, you'll obviously know it's good ingredients.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's clean stuff. You know, it's all-natural. So we're, you know, we're actually in the process of switching over to some organics. So when we roll out probably in the spring with new stuff, there's going to be some organics in our products.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, we tell you, we'll be getting up to the stuff you got coming up. I guess we talked on the phone a while back, and you never stop, dude. You're like a dynamo.
But I just keep coming.
Now, what I found interesting was you're one of the very few people who are actually getting into this. I was actually debating getting into it myself. Was the grilling salts? I'll tell you, the specialty salt market has like exploded in like the last year or two.
Huge.
And it's enormous. And I find myself experimenting in the kitchen a lot with all these different types of specialty salts out there now. I mean, most people don't even realize there's anything out there besides like iodized and sea salt. There is
right.
So much salt out there that tastes so freaking good. And I'm glad you're one of the people who actually dove into that, which I find very cool.
And I got into it by accident. You know, it was the part of it was is I was using sea salt in my products. I was using all this garlic. I was using all these stuff, and I was like, well, why don't we start blending our stuff? And
right.
So I was like, okay, this is a great resource, and our spice business has exploded.
I believe it.
It's phenomenal. I mean, I think, you know, and again, we're still a part-time company. This is a part-time business venture for us. And
still,
I would say last year we went through probably close to 600 pounds.
Nice.
You know, and it's just – so, yeah, we're constantly going. And, again, we're switching to organics on all of our spice lines. So
sure.
We'll be rolling out – everything will be organic in the spring with that. But, yeah, it
very
is
– very cool, yeah, because what's that?
The Himalayan, like the Himalayan pink salt, some
yep.
of the sea salts that are out there are phenomenal. And we have six right now. We have six spice blends. So
oh, cool.
We're kind of hanging with those, and those are our primes. And every year my goal is to come up with one or two more.
Sure, sure. Now, you know what's nice about the dry spice blends, that you don't have to worry about really a shelf life on them. I mean, as long as they're vacuum packed, they're going to last to the next ice age.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, we have our garlic spice blend, which is probably – it's our Vampire Beware signature garlic spice blend. it's great. I mean, I have people that are consistent customers. Like every month, every 2 months, they come and they will order three or four containers to get them through, you know, for the next 60 or 90 days.
Sure,
and
sure.
Then we have the barbecue blend, which is great. I mean, it's probably my favorite. We do it has chocolate in it, it has coffee in it, it's got some great chili powders, it's got the sea salt. So
nice.
It's a very rich and robust rub. And now we just, you know, you saw the smoker that we have
right.
that we displayed. And so now when we do events, we're bringing that big smoker, and we just did an event in Nyack, and we just barbecued three briskets. And it just was brisket with our smoke rub on it, and that was it.
Nice. Well, it's not something I say to a man very often, but hey, nice unit.
There you go.
Now there's one of the salts that really kind of grabbed my attention, the habanero grilling salt. Now, what popped into my head was wear a gas mask. I mean, putting habaneros on an open flame just sounds a bit sadistic.
Yeah, no, it's actually a good blend. I mean, we basically take an Italian sea salt, we blend it with habanero powder, and then we also add in our garlic spice blend to it.
Okay.
You know, you have it's a very specific customer that's ordering that because it's,
well, have you
it's
ever,
going to give your product.
I just got a quick question. Have you ever used the black salt, the Hawaiian black salt?
I've used it. We haven't worked with it yet, but I have
had
it.
Oh, man, that stuff is phenomenal.
I'm a
firm believer in that stuff. We actually have a bunch of that in the contaminated soil stuff we just put out there, our newest little product thing. And that stuff is versatile, man. Please play around with that. I'd love to see what you come up with.
Okay, that's definitely a great idea.
Awesome. And now we round out the currently available products that I noticed on the site with something completely, definitely out of the realm of normal, strawberry habanero pretzels.
Yes, we have. We're playing around again. We, about a year and a half ago, we ended up making a batch of our strawberry hot sauce, and we ended up adding an extra ingredient into it. And it was basically black pepper, and none of my sauces have black pepper.
Right.
So what I ended up seeing was these big chunks of black pepper, and I'm like, I can't do anything with this. I'm not going to put it out there because I tasted the black pepper. It was noticeable to me. And
right.
So I don't know how I came up with it, but we ended up using all of that product and continue now with new product for our pretzels. And everybody
nice.
Loved them. It was just kind of like, okay, this was a great mistake, but it works. Now, it's we're kind of at a crossroad with the pretzels because there's like Snyder's and all of these big companies are doing flavored pretzels now. We're going to keep it on an artisanal level. I don't know that we're ever going to get to that mass distribution because they are all handcrafted. It's a very time-consuming product, but we love it. People love it. We have, steady customers for them now.
I'll tell you what. If you see the big boys making what you're making right now, consider yourself a trendsetter.
Right. That's exactly how I look at it. I've been doing this for 2 years. You guys just came on board,
Well, that's kind of how the hot sauce industry is. I mean, go 10, 15 years ago, there was one kind of Tabasco.
Correct. Right.
We got
into the market. At the right time.
Yeah.
We really did, and our aim is growing, yeah.
Okay, now that we're done with it, those are the products that I saw on your website. So now we're going to delve into the ones the other products in the works, if you'd like to talk about any of them, people know what to kind of expect.
Sure. So we actually have now delved. We're actually coming out with a super hot. So a year ago we came out with our OMG. And it was Ed at Puckerbutt was nice enough to give us some Reaper mash even before he was in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Right.
So we took a chance and we did an OMG limited edition pure Reaper, and we sold out almost immediately with it. And this was before he, his pepper was recognized.
Right.
So we kind of let the hype die down because now everybody has a Reaper pepper. Everybody's rolling out a Reaper sauce. So we were like, you know what? That's not what we want. We don't need to be doing that. There's enough people out there. But when we were at Bowers this past year, 50 people must have come up to me and asked us if we had our OMG. So, we started to think and we said, you know what? We know there's a market for it, but we're not going to do the OMG. Again, it was a one-shot deal. So we're coming out with a new sauce. It's called TKO. It is it's a sour cherry base. We have sour cherries and apples in it. And it's going to be with the Reaper, the Scorpion, and the Ghost. So it's a combination.
Hitting the top three there.
And let me tell you, we're probably about 6 weeks away from releasing it. So really waiting on our schedule process to come back. And, the recipe is already set. And it's one hot sauce. That's all I can say.
Now, use it sparingly.
And we're gonna run with that one. So we have enough peppers at this point that we're not going to make it a limited edition. We're going to run that, just add that to our product line.
That's cool.
Yeah, so we will have, we'll have four hot sauces in our line, and we just started this past year to branch out. So we came out with our pineapple ginger marinade. It's called our pineapple ginger everything sauce. And it actually has habaneros in it, but it's not spicy from a, from a layman's terms.
Right.
So it has that Asian flair to it, but we use it as a marinade. We use it as a salad dressing. It's our everything sauce.
That's cool.
So
the mixture sounds intriguing. I mean, ginger and pineapple together. I mean, those are two powerful flavors together.
Yes, they are. And we sell probably more of that right now, than most of our sauces at this point, because it appeals to everybody, because it's got habanero in it, but it's really not spicy. So, you kind of catch that habanero in the back of your throat, but it goes away very fast, And then we have our sweet and sassy barbecue sauce.
Okay.
So that was our, that was kind of the normal transition. That was our first non-spicy sauce. And, it's a great product. We have that.
Oh, sure.
And now we're coming out with, we're literally, when I get off the phone with you, my process goes up, it gets uploaded up, but it's our tomato garlic oil. It is unbelievable. It's got, crushed tomatoes in it. It's got red wine. It's got some vinegar in it. It's got tons of garlic. It's got basil, but it really is. It's, from pasta to, I just had tilapia tonight with it. And I just had that sauce on it. So, I'm very excited. We're really excited about the stuff that we have coming out. And, every year it's, we've got a couple more items. And, now that this will actually be our first official organic product. So,
very cool.
And then what we're going to end up doing is I am not converting my entire line to organic, but
right.
the products will have organic products in it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's kind of how we're going down that road. We had looked at doing the non-GMO and all of that, but there's a lot of stuff there, a lot of bridges.
Yeah. Yep, yeah, I believe it. Now, to start to kind of change up the gear here, you're also the executive chef at a few well-known establishments, including movie studios, which I thought was kind of cool. Something a little different.
It was fun. I was the corporate executive chef for ABC Studios in Hollywood for about 2.5 years, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I definitely, you know, got to ride around in a golf cart and go from studio. You know, I think my biggest point at that, I forget who it was, Roseanne Barr, she had this thing for frozen Snicker bars. So, you know, as the chef, you know, you have some really interesting people, and they have very interesting demands, and
yep.
you accommodate them. So,
yep.
but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I've been a chef now, you know, on and off for, you know, almost 30 years, and
right.
it's been an amazing ride. I mean, everything that I've done, you know, for 30 years has involved food from one end to another. I mean,
I was going to continue with the next one. I mean, in addition
yeah.
to being an executive chef, you also owned a catering company for a while before you changed direction. I mean, what made you make a right turn?
I got tired of chasing money. And,
gotcha.
You know, in the catering business, it's, you know, you're only as good as your last party.
Right.
And about 4 years ago, I started hemming and hawing about I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to do something for my kids and, you know, have a future for them. So
sure.
I got to the point and I said, you know what? I want to start a manufacturing company and a food company. And the hot sauce was the perfect opportunity at the time because now – it's that old real estate adage, you make money when you sleep. So, you
yes.
know, I can come downstairs and I can look on my phone or my computer and there's an order. I pack it up and I ship it out. So I don't have to worry so much about, you know, chasing after a catering event.
Right,
and I'm still involved in food. I'm still, you know, I love this more than, you know, catering, obviously. But no, but everything that I've done revolves around food, so it's
sure.
great. You know, it's just another transition into the realm of manufacturing and processing.
Sure,
so,
I mean, it comes down to that old worn out adage: if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. I mean, but it's so true in some instances. If you love food, find an angle that you like to do with food, and
right.
you seem to be doing it. It's freaking awesome, dude.
I don't feel like I've worked a day in 11 years. Because I've done my own thing for the last 11 years, you know,
yeah,
and I've had the ability to make my own schedules and, you know, with respect of teaching and doing things like that. But I
sure.
love teaching, you know, and BOCES has been phenomenal in embracing my business ventures and, you know, and my entrepreneurial stuff that we pass on to the students. And it's a great opportunity for the kids to see that from an entrepreneurial standpoint. And they've been fortunate enough to work with me in many of the ventures that we've done. And that's an experience that they're never going to get.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Now, I mean, that brings it right. I mean, man, I wrote this outline right. Now, you also head up a very cool culinary school for kids called Chefs to Be. I mean, what, now, what's that all about? I mean, it's just your resume just keeps flowing.
It started actually 11 years ago. I had done a business plan for a meal delivery company in Rockland County. And the nice thing when I'm telling my students is, you know, a business plan tells you if something's going to work or not going to work.
Right.
And I had gone ahead and I had rented a kitchen in this community center. So, you know, here I was preparing meals and the kids would come into the kitchen and they would watch. And somebody had asked me, like, would you ever be interested in teaching cooking classes? And my first was absolutely not. Me and kids, not at all. Because I'd never gone down that road. And then somebody said, no, why don't you do a demo class? So I said, okay. So the first, you know, class I ever did, it was going to be the beginning of the end. So here's this little kid. My knives are up on the, you know, in my work box, and I'm doing this demo. And this kid walks behind the prep table and grabs the chef's knife blade.
Oh, no.
And he says, this knife doesn't look sharp. And before he could pull it through his hand, I, you know, calmly got it out of his hand. And that was my first lesson in dealing with kids. And I never looked back after that. But, it, you know, it just kind of was a natural thing. And then I had started to think about, well, what else can I do with this space since I'm here in the summertime? And
right.
I thought about a camp. And that was 11 years ago. And,
oh, wow.
you know, we have a waiting list that usually starts around April. You know, we run anywhere from 4 weeks. I listed it with – I was going to sell it this year because I want to focus more on Hotcha Watcha, Sauce and Spice Company.
Right.
And actually, we're going through a name change, but we'll discuss that in a minute. So,
okay.
So, you know, we were – I'm on the fence of what I'm going to do with the cooking camp, but it's a successful camp. It's a great thing. I mean, the kids come with me from 8:30 to 4:30 every day, and they make breakfast and lunch, and then they do dinner, and then they bring dinner home for the whole family.
Oh, very cool.
So, you know, the parents love that. And then we have a field trip once a week, either into the city or up to the Culinary Institute of America.
Right.
So it's been an amazing thing. I usually have, you know, anywhere from four or five staff working with me, you know, when we do it. And, you know, it originally was an after-school program and a weekend program and birthday parties and all of that. And over the last four
right.
or 5 years, when I went back to school to get my MBA, I had decided that I was just going to do the summer camp. So
right.
now it's just been the summer camp.
Yeah, but you said they're lining up in April. I mean, it's just you're doing something right again. I mean, it just keeps going.
Yeah, and we don't advertise.
Like that.
I mean, yeah, we don't advertise. It's word of mouth. I mean, we set up a booth at the street fairs. We put up a couple of street signs, but
right.
90% of our stuff is word of mouth because we have about a 65% retention rate for 3 years. They'll come back for
Very
3 years.
Wow,
and
there's something to be said for that,
they always bring their friends with us. Yeah,
that's something, cool.
Yeah, well, you
definitely are. You know, it's nice when you don't have to advertise. That's, I'll tell you, well, we stopped advertising with anybody probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and we haven't looked back on it. I mean, we're spending all this money on advertising, and it's doing nothing for us. And it's like, we stopped, and all of a sudden we started making money. It was just bizarre.
It's like insurance. You know, you can go insurance broke. You can also go advertising broke.
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, it's just kind of one of those things. It's a risk you take. But, you know, it works out for us. You know, we
very
don't
good,
advertise the hot sauce other than our word of mouth. And we have a great local following, you know, in Rockland County. You know,
sure.
we're very well known, you know, just because of Jordan and, you know, in the community. We do a ton of community events. We have one coming up this week. We're donating a carving station, you know, under the Hotcha Watcha name. So,
very
you know,
cool.
we're constantly out there and putting stuff out there for us.
But and you're loving doing it. That's the key. I mean, if you didn't like doing it, you wouldn't be doing it.
I'm passionate about it.
That's
very
cool.
Passionate.
Man, there's a lot to be said for that. Now, in reading your website, I mean, this all seems like one big family effort as well, which I think is very nice. Now, does your entire family cook? Or are you like the culinary anomaly? I mean, how does that all work?
No, you know, I mean, my wife's attitude is, why should I cook when you can do it in a tenth of the time? So,
nice.
But she, you know, but she will. You know, my kids love to cook. So it works out really well. And so everything in our family is really – it revolves around food. You know, we entertain around food. We go out. We enjoy good food. So, you know, my kids are not picky eaters. They are, but they're not. They appreciate good food. You know, they
sure.
don't eat junk food just because they appreciate good food. So
right.
they'd rather eat good food as opposed to junk food.
Absolutely. Now I'm gonna totally switch gears on you right now. Now everybody listening out there, they're already probably amazed by how much crap you got going on. But there's one more piece. I thought that Sam McCandless from Zach and Zane's was the only beekeeper in this hot sauce realm. It seems you've somehow found time to be a beekeeper as well.
I did. It actually, about 7 or 8 months ago, one of my students who graduated a couple of years ago from BOCES, her dad had kept some hives. And, you know, we had been friendly over the years. And so he calls me up and he says, look, I have an extra hive. Do you want it? And I was like, sure. I had talked about it with my students even, Whitley. And, you know, the nice thing about being a teacher is when you want to find out something, you have your students do an essay on it. So,
right.
you know, last year, at the end of the year, my kids had done an essay on bees. So I started to learn about them. I didn't know much about it. And here we are. We're transporting this hive in the back of my van in April. And I'm like, holy crap, I've got 60,000 bees in my car. What am I, crazy? And it has, you know, it has become so therapeutic for me. I'm going to start my second hive. Hopefully this one will survive the winter. But,
right.
you know, it's a constant learning thing. I got an amazing, you know, we only took out a little bit of honey this year
right.
because we have to honey them over the winter for the first year. But it is amazing. And, you know, I go out there and I'll open up the hive with nothing on at this point. I mean, I'm not scared of them, the bees. You know, it's just an amazing feeling. And it's extremely
wow.
therapeutic. And, you know, the goal is that we'll get enough honey. Our new sauce is sweetened with honey. And the whole goal was that if I'm going to have bees and I'm going to be producing honey, why aren't I not using it in my product?
Absolutely.
That's the goal. You know, when we go to our first batch, it's not going to have our honey in it, but it will have honey in it. And then next year, once we pull it in from the hives, it will have organic honey in it, local organic.
But I mean,
honey.
What a great manufacturing point too. We make all the honey that goes into our products. I mean, there's very few people that can say that in the world.
Yep, I'm liking that right now.
Well, I don't think you're going to see too many people in Manhattan breaking up beehives. I just don't see it happening.
it really is. So it really is amazing. You know, here I am in suburbia. I've got 60,000 bees in my backyard. And we have a fun time. The kids, my Jordan just got his bee suit for his birthday a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, he goes out there with me, and, you know, I hate to say play with the bees, but that's kind of what we're doing, you know.
Could you imagine, like a bunch of helicopter moms out there? Where are you going? I'm going over to Jordan's house to go play with the bees.
You have no idea. When the parents come over here, they're amazed. They're like, oh, my God, no, you can't go anywhere near there. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Come out here. And they come out, and our neighbors, they're floored. They're just like, I can't believe, you know. And his friends are like, I can't believe this about you. And, you know, you've got your own hot sauce company with his name on it. He raises bees, you know. So it's pretty awesome.
Oh, man. Now, I'm going to turn back the thing. I'm going to kind of revert back to the topic I brought up at the beginning of the show. Now, you had started up that Fire and Smoke Food Fest in Pomona, New York, was it last year? And
I think it's a great show.
I think it's a great show. And one of the best in terms of having actually a help crew for the vendors, something a number of shows are quite lacking in. You seem to run with the insanity. I mean, what insanity took over your brain to start up a hot sauce show?
You know, it was funny. When I was doing my MBA in 2009, one of the projects I had done was designing an event for Rockland County. And it had started as a chili festival. And there really wasn't a great venue. I was running a local chili festival. We were getting about 600 or 700 people. And it was, you know, it was a fundraiser for the school. But I was like, I need to take this bigger. And then they built this amazing stadium in Pomona. And I was wow, what a great venue. And,
it's awesome. I love the backdrop. You're set up around the concourse of a baseball diamond. It's so perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a risk. I took the risk last year, and you know what? We had a great turnout last year. This year we got washed out, but it happens.
Well, you know what? It was the weather. It had nothing to do with the show. The weather,
it was
coming down in buckets. It was like 40 degrees. It sucked.
Yeah. I have no idea, and I woke up on Sunday, and it's 70 degrees out. I was like, son of a bitch. But you know what? It's part of the territory, and it's, you know, one of those things of when you're an entrepreneur, you have risks. And
yes.
You know what?
We
learned from. So, you know, we're going to run with this, and we think it can become a great festival, you know, years down the road. And you really don't see anything. You know, it takes about 3 to 5 years to build a good festival anyway.
Yes, it does.
We know. And now the town had or the county approached me in September, probably in August. And they'd asked me if we would rename the festival. So we're talking about renaming it the Rockland County Smoke and Fire Food Festival for next year. And
well, you know what? That may bring more people. That may actually bring more people. I'm thinking of the name as a much bigger sounding name.
Yeah, and we've been approached by a couple of corporate sponsors this year for next year. So there's things in the works. We're thinking about doing a fireworks display, you know, to close out the night. So, you know, it's just getting bigger and better. And, you know, we start planning the day, you know, the at 7:01 when the festival ends, you start planning for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I also find that a lot of manufacturing producers are kind of looking for semi-local to regional shows to do as well because they're not as costly. And I mean,
crazy. We're actually gonna drop our rate. So we're offering an incentive to vendors that were there last year because you know what, we're not making our money on the vendor spaces. And, you know, and I want the vendors to make money because I'm a vendor myself. So I know what it's like when you go to a show and you're hemming and hawing And you're like, oh, you know, I haven't even made my vendor fee back. So the goal is that we want great vendors there. And I think we've had the last 2 years, we've had some great vendors. I think
yes.
we retained probably 90% of our vendors from last year. There were a couple of vendors we didn't want back, so that was fine. But
those are easy.
Those are the easy ones. But, yeah, so we've got some incentives when we do the planning. We're going to, you know, drop our rate. Not that our rate was bad. It was $150 for a vendor. And, you know, we're probably going to go to $100, $125 for the vendors and then do a percentage for food vendors.
Sure,
so,
sure. And, well, I mean, you know, and just so everybody knows, if you're out there listening, the festival will be on next October 10th at the Provident Bank Ballpark.
October 10th, yeah. And it will be in New York with letters AND and fire now, because that we had a little trademark thing going on with another company.
In Kansas. Oh my God! What?
They didn't like the fact that we had the N in the middle of it anymore, so we had to go smoke and fire.
God. Oh, get a life. The ballpark, like I said, it's a great location. And what's nice about it is the attendees, it's kind of like a Bowers in a way. The attendees are all in a great mood and come to buy. I mean, that's like the perfect retail algorithm. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, they spend money. I mean,
they do.
You know, the vendors that have done, you know, and obviously there's always your vendors. You know, look, my wife and I say this when we go to festivals. If you're a vendor and you're sitting on your cell phone, chatting up on your cell phone, you're not selling anything. And we've seen it at our festivals. We've seen it at other festivals. And there's a couple of vendors that complain, oh, I didn't sell it. Get off your phone and sell. You have to be the personality. And, you know, if you don't engage the customer, you're not going to sell. But,
that's correct. Absolutely.
You know, I have found, I mean, you know, look, we respectively, you know, we did well respectively considering what we did last year. But based on the attendance, it was where we should have been based on the attendance for this year. And we know what it's going to be next year. So, you know, we're already looking to put some heaters out just in case we have another cold snap and, you know. But
The Pepperzada Beach gig that I had mentioned. I mean, the first couple of years, the first year was like, Second year, a little bit bigger. Third year, it exploded. I mean, it was enormous. But then Peppers moved. But what are you going to do?
Are they starting back up again?
I've been kind of giving the hint to Chip a little bit, and they couldn't do it at the location they have now. The parking lot's way too small. I mean, it would fit the vendors, but nobody else. And
gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, the place they had before, it was huge. But now it's tight for space, and I'm trying to get Chip maybe look into a location close to Peppers. All we need is an open lot. I mean, it's a tailgate party. That's what it's all about. It's just set up a tent and fire up a grill and have a good time. I mean, that's what that's all about. But now, in addition to the Pomona show, you're also working on a couple of festival projects in Philadelphia and Las Vegas.
I am, yes, and that was my next. I was just getting ready to lead into that. I have had conversations. The one in Philly is probably not going to happen right away.
Okay.
We had met where they wanted the stadium. It was in a really, really rough area of town, and we couldn't make that work. The Vegas thing is still an iron in the fire for Vegas. Yeah, it was in South Philly, and I was like, I'm not, you know, it's not going to be worth it. They were trying to team it up with a rugby game, rugby championship. But I was like, that's not going to work. But I've had conversations with the Fisher Cat Stadium in New Hampshire about doing a spicy food festival, and you know, I like the concept of the smoke and fire becoming a brand. So,
I do too.
You know, I'm working on it. I've got some different irons and fires for that, so we'll see. I mean, it's a lot of work to go under. What I would like to do is get...
You hear the music?
I hear you. No, that's great.
All right, Kendall, yeah, we got to. Otherwise, we get bumped. It was awesome talking to you tonight, all right? And we're going to get you back for a second one of these. I think there's a lot more of you that people are going to want to know about. I just you're just an amazing dude in the industry, and we're very happy to have you part of it. But I've got to kind of do my wrap up here, and I'll give you a call after the show.
All right, thanks much.
Talk to you in a few.
Take care.
Okay, man, there's the music. Gotta wrap it up. Definitely like to thank Kendall Brenner from Hacha Wacha Sauces for joining us tonight. As you can see, this is a busy man with a good heart. Now check out his products at www.jordanssauces.com. His well-honed view is one you should listen to, as you found out tonight. I look forward to seeing him at many shows we'll be doing in the years to come. Well, this is John Dilley, president of DEF CON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at defconsauces.com. So until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody.
S.O.B. If you don't ride around, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. I said I'm an outlaw. I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox. For my outlaw. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox. For my outlaw. Bring me three shots. Three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the...
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.